right, Psalm 85. Lord, Thou hast been favorable unto Thy land. Thou hast brought back the captivity of Jacob. Thou hast forgiven the iniquity of Thy people. Amen. Thou hast covered all their sin, Selah. Thou hast taken away all Thy wrath. Thou hast turned Thyself from the fierceness of Thine anger. Boy, I'd like to got to that verse this morning. If you can get a hold of that, God has taken away all of His wrath and has turned away from the fierceness of His anger. Turn us, O God. Amen. Turn us, O God, of our salvation, and cause Thine anger toward us to cease. Wilt Thou be angry with us forever? Wilt Thou draw out Thine anger to all generations? Wilt Thou not revive us again, that Thy people may rejoice in Thee? Show us Thy mercy, O Lord, and grant unto us Thy salvation. I will hear what God the Lord will speak, for He will speak peace unto His people and to His saints. Amen. But let them not turn again to folly. Surely His salvation is nigh them that fear Him, that glory may dwell in our land. Mercy and truth are met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. Truth shall spring up, shall spring out of the earth, and righteousness shall look down from heaven. Yea, the Lord shall give that which is good, and our land shall yield her increase. Righteousness shall go before Him, and shall set us in the way of His steps. Boy, there's some wonderful verses in that chapter. I'm talking about a wonderful, wonderful verses in that chapter in the Word of God. And I'm going to tell you, they're deeper than any well we've ever drank out of. And someday I'd like to plunge to their depths. But there's some deep water there, deep wells there. But let's pray, and I'll tell you where we're preaching tonight. Heavenly Father, I want to thank You, Lord, for what You've done for us in our life. Thank You, Lord, for saving us and the blessings of God You bestowed us with every day and the benefits You load us down with. Thank You, Lord, for the privilege of being in the house of God tonight. But most of all, we thank You for Calvary, for Your gift upon the cross, Your death there, that we might be saved, that we might have life, and, Lord, that we might have it more abundantly. I plead the blood tonight upon the preaching of the Word of God on every heart that's here and those by the radio. I pray, Lord, that You'd give me power and unction to preach. Make me a blessing to Your people. Stir their hearts up for revival tonight. Give us grace and great liberty that we need. May sinners come to Christ, and may Your precious name be glorified, and we'll thank You for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank You, and you may be seated. I want us to look at verse number 6, probably a very familiar verse to most of us here tonight. I'm sure if you've been a member here very long, you've heard Brother Hall preach out of this verse in the Bible, where the psalmist said, "Wilt Thou not revive us again, that Thy people," get a hold of that, "Thy people may rejoice in Thee." I've said a number of times, revival is not for the lost. They need to be revived. Revival is for the saved. This verse proves that. "Wilt Thou not revive us again, that Thy people may rejoice in Thee." And so I want to preach for a little while tonight on the thought of why revival tarries. Amen. Why are we not having revival in the length and the breadth of our land? Why are the churches in America in the spiritual condition that they're in? Why are we so dry, and why are we so dead when it comes to spiritual matters? And so I want to preach on why revival tarries. I don't think there's a greater need for revival. I think there's a greater need for revival now than there's been in the 21 plus years that I've been the pastor of Island Ford Baptist Church. And I want to say I really believe in 96 that we came very close to it. And we relished off of the blessings of God in 96 for 3 or 4 years and enjoyed what God done for us. But for some reason it slipped through our fingers and we let it go. But our cry ought to be again tonight, "Wilt Thou not revive us again, that Thy people may rejoice in Thee." Now, I remember several years ago, Ms. Hall and I went to Brother Patrick McDonald's ordination service down at Landmark Baptist Church down in Georgia. And they had three preachers that night, a priest on his ordination. But Brother Jerry Reeves that night made a statement that stuck in my craw, and it stuck there ever since. He said, as a young man and a preacher, he said, I never thought the day would come that I personally would need reviving. But the dangers, toils, and battles, the disappointments and the discouragements in the ministry have become so intense that my cry to God is, wilt thou not revive us again that thy people may rejoice in thee? And I don't think God's people are aware of the battles that's raging around us. I don't think that we're aware of the power of Satan and how he's deceiving folks in these last days. Even the very elect, if it were possible. I'm glad it's not possible. But I think we've gotten off the front lines and out of the battle, and it's because we've gotten so discouraged, and we've had so many disappointments in our life. We've been through so many trials, and we've just about give up on God doing anything for us. But I'll tell you, the goodness of God still dwells in the land. And I think what I preached on this morning leads up to tonight. I preached on the immutability of God to the best of my ability on a thought that I thought the Lord wanted. And God is unchanging. I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. Now, if the Lord changes not, and he sent revival in the days of David, I believe wrote this chapter in the Bible. If he sent revival, then can you give me one reason, if he changes not, why he cannot send revival today? I've heard every excuse in the book. We're living in the last days and the world's gotten sinful. Well, the world's never going to be revived to begin with. God's going to carry out his plan upon this world just like he says he's going to carry it out. But I'm going to tell you, God's people are the ones that need revival. Revival is for us. They need to be revived. We need to be revived. That's right. And as long as God's on the throne and there's praying breath in God's people and preaching breath in the lungs of God's preachers, I'm telling you, it's still possible to have revival in the churches of America. Now, I want to say this. I don't believe revival will ever settle in on an entire congregation at one time. I don't know any place that ever has. But revival starts out in a personal way. It's got to start in the heart and life of somebody. We used to sing that old song, Lord, send us a revival and let it start in me. And it's got to start somewhere. It's not just going to fall out of heaven on everybody. But revival has got to start in some hungry heart that is tired of the way that we're going and gets a hold of God and pulls down the blessings of God upon his people in the church that he is living in, or going to. Now, it says, apparently, there's been a time in this psalmist's life when he had drank water, the water of salvation from great depths. His heart was aflame with the love for his Lord. His joy was unspeakable, and it was full of glory. But now he cries unto the Lord, wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee? Have you ever been there? I'll get to preaching in a minute. You just hang on. I've been right there. I've drank some of that water from great depths. And I've experienced that joy unspeakable and full of glory. I know what it's like to go to the house of God and see God move in his people and do a work in their heart as well as in the hearts of the lost to bring sinners to a saving knowledge of Christ and give God's people the intended blessing they need to continue on in the battle, amen, until the trumpet sounds and God calls us home. I've been there. I've done that. I've got a teacher. I've seen God work in wonderful ways while I was in Greenville, South Carolina. And I'll never forget those days in my life. And hey, I'm telling you, it all started in 1950 in a place called Pelham, South Carolina. I heard Harold Sattler say in the 1980s, he said, you and I are living today off of a six-month prayer meeting that started a revival in Pelham, South Carolina, and is still being carried on in Tabernacle Baptist Church today. Somebody said, preacher, how is that? When God sends revival, it's not something. I've heard men talk about God sending revival, and they sound to me like more like God sending judgment on His people than He is revival. I've heard men talk about God sending revival and 8 or 10 people in the church getting killed because they didn't get right with God. Well, that don't sound like revival. That sounds like judgment. But revival is when God's people are brought back to where they ought to be in their Christian life. And revival is not, revival is not something above the normal. It is the normal. Will thou not revive us again that thy people may rejoice in thee? And people today in American our Baptist churches are so ignorant of what revival is that many of them don't know what it is. Therefore, they don't want it, and they're not going to pray for it. And many of them are afraid of it, and they're not going to pray for it because they know that if they prayed for it, they'd have to get right with God in order to have it. But I'm telling you, God awaits us, ladies and gentlemen, with outstretched arms, just like that prodigal son's father waited for him to welcome us home in revival. Anytime we want to get out of the pig pen and head back to the Father's house, He is ready, willing, and able to clothe us and ring us and robe us, rebuck us, and take us to ride. Somebody say amen right there. Hallelujah. Now, apparently there had been a time in the psalmist's life when he had drank from the water of salvation from great depths. His heart was aflame with the love of his Lord. He had joy unspeakable and full in glory. But now he cries, "Will thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee?" You know what we need today? We need somebody in the church that will be like Paul. When they landed on that island of Melita and come out of that great storm, Paul went out gathering some sticks to build a fire with. And he started building a fire. Doesn't say anything at all about anybody else building a fire. But it was cold and rainy, and Paul knew that they needed a fire to have a little bit of heat. Now, I'm telling you, God needs somebody at Island Ford Baptist Church that will build a fire in their heart, amen, that from it others may be warmed and blessed and helped from the fire that is built in them. And I'm telling you, a fire that is not put out will spread by itself. Somebody say amen right there. Somebody said, it may be a wildfire. Don't worry about it. There's enough old wet blankets around here to put it out. We need revival. We need revival. Now, according to verse number 7, revival was only possible by the mercy of God. He said, "Show us thy mercy, O Lord, and grant us thy salvation." Now, I want you to look up here at me. The word salvation literally means deliverance. And he's not talking here about getting saved. He's talking about being delivered. Salvation's the same thing. It's being delivered. And what he's talking about here, when he said, "Show us thy mercy, O Lord, and grant us thy salvation," he's talking about we're in captivity and we need deliverance. We need revival, Lord. We're in captivity, and we need revive. Will thou not revive us again? Amen. Show us thy great mercy and deliver us from our captivity that we might rejoice again in what God has done for us in our heart and in our lives. Amen. That's right. Now look at verse number 9. He said, "Surely his salvation is nigh them that fear him, that glory may dwell in the land." Amen. Now, I'm going to tell you something. Friend, revival brings a little glory. Amen. That's a problem with some of you in here tonight. I'm just telling you like it is. Some of you in here tonight doubt the doctrine of the glory of God. Amen. Or you say, the glory is for heaven. Well, I think the glory in the church, worlds without end, Paul said, amen. That's right. Now, I'm telling you, there ought to be a little bit of glory of God in the church. I read all through the Bible, and where God was working and God was blessing, the glory of God was there. When God's Shekinah glory settled in on that tabernacle in the wilderness, God done business with His people. When Solomon built that temple and the glory of God set in that temple, God done business with His people. I tell you, when Christ was on the earth, He was the glory of God. Now I'm telling you, things really picked up when the Son of God came into the world and grace and truth came by Him and He brought the glory of God with Him and died on the cross that we might be saved by the marvelous grace of God. Now I'm telling you, a lot of people don't believe in the glory of God. They don't want it. They think all the glory of God is somebody running like a fool and shouting, jumping against walls and all this and that. It ain't altogether that, folks.
Amen.
The glory of God's not altogether that.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you, when the glory fell in the temple that Solomon built, you know what they done? They didn't run and shout. They had to get outside.
Amen.
It was so thick they had to get outside the building.
Amen.
Somebody, come on now. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
I'm telling you, you'd be amazed what might happen if God's glory really set in.
Yeah.
Some of you may be on your face on the floor trying to get right with God. Some of you may be in a corner with somebody that you've offended trying to get right with them. Some of you may be in a corner praying yourself trying to get right with God because you've not been as dedicated and faithful to the house of God as you ought to be. I'm telling you, when the glory sets in, it works on the hearts and lives of God's people. When the glory sets in, it will melt your heart like an ice cube, ladies and gentlemen, lay it in hot water. Amen. I emptied some ice cubes in some water down there in that room. You're not supposed to leave ice cubes in them trays. I emptied it in there and I said, I'm not going to leave them there. And I turned on that hot water and them ice cubes just melted away. I mean, they just melted away. Now I'm going to tell you what. We need somebody to build a fire to melt the ice. Hallelujah to God. And catch on fire for the glory of God. Amen. Now, he said that glory may dwell in our land. Then he said, God's glory always accompanies revival. Always accompanies revival. There'll never be a revival without it. I'll guarantee you on that. That's why some preachers I know talk about revival. They'll never have revival. They don't know what it is. They tell you. I've heard them stand right here and tell you they know what revival is, but they don't know what it is. Some of them think revival is in beer joints closing down and people out there. Hey, that's evangelism. That's actually not revival. People getting saved and things of that nature and beer joints closing down. People are on them getting right with God. That is evangelism. Then I've heard some preachers preach here that they saw a revival and there's 7 or 8 people killed in 8 or 9, 3 or 4 days in a revival. That's not revival. Revival is God's people getting thoroughly right with God that they can experience the joy of the Lord in their heart and live that abundant life that Christ died that we might have while we dwell upon this earth. Somebody ought to say amen right there. That's right. Praise God. Amen. Now, somebody said, Brother Hall, why does revival tarry? And I'm going to be brief tonight. I know I can tell the way I'm preaching. I'm going to be brief because you're not saying much back to me. But I think revival tarries because God's people have lost their appetite for spiritual matters. We might as well face that. And I want you to know when I'm preaching tonight, I'm not just preaching to you, I'm preaching to me. Miss Hall and I both have talked to one another how that we need some help from the Lord. And we prayed for that help. God help us. We need help from the Lord. Our hearts are drifting cold and away from God, and we've got to have some help from the Lord. Now, I'm telling you, the devil ain't making it no easier, ladies and gentlemen. I guarantee you, he ain't making it a bit easier on us to get right with God and have revival in our own heart. I'm not just preaching to you. I'm preaching to Gary Hall. I can say, Lord, wilt thou not revive me again that I might rejoice in thee? I can't remember the last time I had a shouting spell and a running fit around here, but I'm telling you, if it ever gets on in the right way, I'm going to take a lap, bless God, and if my legs lock up, I'll oil them down with 3 and 1 keep on going. Say amen.
Amen.
Amen. That's right. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, God's people have lost their appetite for spiritual matters. We're more interested in worldly and carnal things and matters than we are in God. Now, I want you to listen very carefully. And I'm not going to lay all the blame on us. We're to blame. But I'm not going to lay all the blame on us, and I'm going to tell you why. Because the devil is using the world to put the pressure on us. You hear what I said? The devil is using the world to put the pressure on us. That world out there has got a smooth tongue and a sweet calling. And everything about it sounds good. But I'm telling you, at the end of it, it'll bite like an adder. Amen. It'll bite you like an adder. You better believe it will. Amen. The world is our enemy. You can mark that down in your little black book. Amen. Now, somebody said, I don't believe that. Well, I'm going to prove to you. I read the verse to you this morning, but I'll read it to you again tonight, and maybe you'll understand where Brother Hall's come from. In John chapter number 15, I want you to get a hold of this. In John 15, I believe that's where it's at. Come on, Lord. John 15 and verse 19, Jesus said, if ye were of the world would love his own. He said, if you're of the world would love you because it loves its own. But he said, but because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Oh, I'm going to tell you, the Bible says that anybody that is a friend of the world is at enmity with God. Why in heaven's name would somebody that's been redeemed by the grace of God, brought out of the land of Egypt, got away from the taskmasters in Egypt, why in heaven's name would we want to go back into the bondage of the world one more time? Now I'm telling you, the world out there is putting pressure on us, and it don't like you. It'll act like it likes you, but I'm telling you, the world hates you. It cannot stand your testimony. Why? I can go in the barber shop down there, and one of them old boys say, how you doing, Brother Hall? And all at once it gets hushed quiet. You could hear a penny drop on the floor, needles. And you'd think the world had come to an end. That's right. People scared to death to be around a preacher today. Or around a man of God, or around a child of God that's a real witness to them.
Amen.
They're afraid of it. What was it I told that woman? If I can think of it before this, I'll tell you about it. If it comes to my mind, wherever I'm at, I'm going to tell you what I told her. Amen. About being saved. Hallelujah. Yeah. But I'm going to tell you, Satan is using the world to put pressure on God's people, and the world hates us. It hates us. I said we don't have any appetite for spiritual matters. I'm preaching to myself now, but there's no appetite for the Savior anymore.
Amen.
Boy, there is no hunger for God.
Amen.
There is no thirst in our soul for God. Do you know when we'll go after God? When we get hungry and when we get thirsty. You can say whatever you want to say, but I'm telling you, God's got to get us right in order to get us to Him. And we're going to have some hunger in our heart and some thirst in our heart to get to God. I'm going to say it this way, and you can like it, lump and huff and bump and jump it or dump it, don't make any difference to me. But a sinner has got a thirst after God before he'll ever get saved. Oh, let everyone come that thirsteth. Let him come and drink of milk and honey.
Yes.
Yes, milk and wine. Ain't that what the Bible said?
Amen.
That's right. Sinners are not going to get saved till they get thirsty.
Amen.
They're not going to. You know what makes them thirsty? Come on in the house, children. God said, ye are the salt of the earth. I'm telling you, salt will make anybody thirsty. You don't say you won't, just go on up to the Cracker Barrel in the morning, get you one of them big pieces of ham, bless God, about that big around. Eat it and see how thirsty you are when you leave there. You hit the water fountain and the water jug more time than you are. People got to get thirsty, and salt makes them thirsty, and God's people are the salt of the earth. But if the salt has lost its savor, it's fit for nothing but to be cast out and trodden under the foot of men. That's what the Lord said about it. We've lost our savor. That is, if we've lost our saltness. Buddy, we ain't worth much to God. That's right. No appetite for the Savior. Listen to what it said in Proverbs 8:17. Listen to this carefully. I love them that love me.
Amen.
I don't hear many amen.
Amen, John.
I love them that love me. Now you can look at it, Proverbs 8:17.
Amen.
I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. You know why? Because God loves them. God loves them. Those that seek God, God loves them. I heard a preacher one time in his pulpit said, I don't want no preacher coming in here, and you probably know who it is, and I don't mind telling some of you after me. He said, I don't want no preacher coming in here and preaching anything about trying to seek God or try to seek the Holy Ghost. And I said, what is wrong with that preacher? My Bible tells me all the way through it that we're to seek God. I'm telling you, anybody's worth their salt has sought God in their life and for their life. And say what you may, I'm not talking about seeking the Holy Ghost for some supernatural, it is supernatural, but some mystical, mysterious thing that causes us to speak in tongues. But I'm telling you, you will never be filled with the Holy Ghost until you pray and seek after God in your heart and ask God to fill you with the Holy Ghost in constant, consistent prayer in your life. Amen. That's right. That's right. And then he said in Psalm 40 and verse 1, I waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined unto me and heard my cry. I don't have much to say about that. But I wonder how long. Well, I know how long. Those men and women in the upper room waited on the Lord. You know why they waited on the Lord? I'm going to tell you why. Because they had an appetite for God.
Amen.
Mary Magdalene wept at His feet because He was going away.
Amen.
They stood at His cross and His mother wept and Mary Magdalene wept. And all the men folk, supposed to be brave, they all followed afar off.
Amen.
And stood afar off. It was the women that took the place. Now, I'm going to tell you something, men. I love you, but if it wasn't for the women folk, this place would fall to pieces.
Amen.
I knew I shouldn't have said that. No, I appreciate our women and the work they do around here. Some of them. And some of the men do their share of work. But not everybody. Some of you cook real well, and I'm thanking God for that.
Amen.
God.
Amen.
Amen. Men or women, don't make no difference to me. Food's good. Man, you got to eat. Amen. That's right. Psalm 63:1, David said, O God, Thou art my God. Early will I seek Thee. Listen now. My soul thirsteth for Thee. My flesh longeth for Thee in a dry and a thirsty land where no water is. Can you get a hold of that? He said, my soul and my flesh both are thirsting and longing after God, but I'm in a land where no water's at. You know why I didn't have any water? Needed revival. Lord, will Thou not revive us again? My soul needs water from above. My soul needs a drink from the well, from great depths, hallelujah, that'll refresh my soul and revive my heart in Thee. I've told you this. I'll tell you again. I remember when I was a boy, we went to that little two-room schoolhouse. Mrs. Birch lived right next door to it. She had a little old well out there. And people back then, they used to build up a wooden thing about so high and so big around that well, and then a little old thing come up, and they'd crank that water up and down, you know, on that bucket in that well. I imagine some of you in here seen wells like that. Brenda's grandpa and grandma had one like that when we first got married. I've seen a well like that. We'd get ready to be over there playing softball on a ball diamond that was about as half as big as what that section of seat says over there. We thought, buddy, we really hit a pope if we knocked 125 feet. Amen. And but we'd go over by there, and every day going home, we'd walk by that house, and Miss Birch would be standing up there all humped over like that. Now, I'm telling you, that water in that well was the coldest water I'd ever drank in my life. There must have been a vein of water, a stream of water, spring of water in that well. And we'd ask her, Miss Birch, in fact, she's a little related to my daddy and to us. And I'd say, can we have a drink of water? And she'd always say, you betcha, honey. You betcha, honey. She'd say, let Miss Birch get you a good glass in here and dip out, get some cold out of there. Bet him we'd crank that bucket up and pour that water out in them glasses and it'd just bead up on that glass. Woo! That was good water. Now, I'm going to tell you, you go over there on a hot day, sweat running down your back of your neck. Amen. Your clothes soaking wet where you've been running, playing ball. Hallelujah to God. Get a good drink of that ice water. I'm going to tell you, it'd cause you to want to run another 10 miles. And I'm going to tell you, if God would ever revive some of us. Amen. I'm talking about we'd be ready to get up and go again. I'll tell you what we'd do. We'd mount up with wings of eagles. We'd run and not grow weary. We'd walk and not faint. If God would revive us again, then we might rejoice in Him. Hallelujah. Oh, God, send revival. There's no appetite for God. The soul and the flesh both longed and thirsted for God. Now, I can't get a hold of that completely, except that He was in this land and He knew that the flesh had to be subdued, and by the soul being revived is the only way He could do it.
Amen.
That was His conquering power. That was His Now, that's the best I can do. Somebody may have something better on it. If you have, I'll be glad to listen to you. But that's the best I've got. Then I want to say, not like this. I don't think there's much appetite for the Scriptures anymore.
Amen.
God help us. We've laid the Bible down on the coffee table and put all kind of old pictures and notes. I've been in houses before and tried to witness to people. You got a Bible? Oh, yeah, we got a Bible. It's laying right there on the table. We use it all the time. You look at the edges of it, and it ain't been used all the time. And you open it up, and it's plumb full of old newspaper clippings and pictures and this and that. There's dust all over. They've not read their Bible. Now, I'm going to tell you something. We need an appetite for the Word of God. We need to get hungry for this Bible, for this book. There's no book like this book. Amen. We need to get in this book. I'm talking about the King James 1611 Bible. We need to get in this book. Hallelujah. I like to read other books, but there's no book that will compare with this book. This is the book. This is not a book. This is the book. Hallelujah. Santa Biblia, Holy Bible, the book. La Biblia, the book. Amen. That's right. And more than that, it come from God. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Holy men of old.
Amen.
Pin down the Word of God as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Woo! Hallelujah to His name. I'm telling you, this is God's love letter to you and I. Oh, we ought to be constant in this Bible. It's God's love letter. He tells us all about His love in that book for you and I. Oh, Lord, and I don't relish in this. But there's love for His people and judgment for sinners. I don't relish in the thought that sinners are going to hell. Really, I don't. I don't want nobody to go to hell. I'd like to take a freight train load with me when I go. I don't want nobody to go to hell. But I'm telling you that God will tell us about the judgment of sinners as well as the wrath that's coming. But He'll also tell us about His love that He has for His people.
Amen.
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 Now, I'm going to tell you, God loves everybody. I love everybody in this room tonight.
Amen.
But I'm going to tell you something. There's a little special love in my heart, of course, for the sis over there. But when you start coming down the line, you be honest in your heart. Hey, I got a little more love for this young lady sitting right here. Not more love than Miss Altman. I've got more love for her than I do for you. I love you. But she's mine.
You're mine.
You're not. I love that little girl there and that little boy and that little boy. And I love that little knucklehead over there and they're looking at Papa's deer while I go, dear, dear, dear. You know why I love them? They're mine!
Amen.
I love you, but they're mine. And I'm going to tell you, God loves sinners, but those that are saved are His. God loves His own. He said in John 13:1, having loved His own which were in the world, He loved them unto the end. Hallelujah to God. Now I'm telling you, there's a special love in God's heart for His people. Now you can call me whatever you want to call me. But I'm going to tell you, if He didn't love us, if He didn't love Israel above them Philistines, how come Israel always whooped them? How come they always whoop them Edomites and all that crap? Because God loves His people, that's why. Amen, that's right. Come on now, don't leave me. Appetite for the Scriptures. Psalmist said in Psalm 19:10-11, more to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey in the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned. And in keeping them, there is great reward. I'm going to tell you, get in that Bible, and God will warn you. Amen. I'm telling you, somebody said years ago that that sin will keep you from that book, but that book will keep you from sin. I'm telling you, that Bible in that Scripture that's sweeter than honey and honeycomb, God will warn you about things to come. And God, ladies and gentlemen, He'll not only warn you, but He'll reward you for being in that book. Blessed is a man, John said in the Revelation, that readeth this book, and those that hear this book, and those that understand it, or something like that. Three blessings on people.
Amen.
And keep the promises.
That's right.
Oh, hallelujah. I'm telling you, there's just something about this Bible.
Amen. Amen.
You believe that there's nations, there's entire nations. Now, here, you can get mad at me if you want to. But here's why I say, well, I better not say what I started to say. I'll just say this. There are some nations that don't even have a Bible.
Amen.
They don't even have a gospel tract.
Amen.
And how can they be saved if we're saved by the incorruptible Word of God that liveth and abideth forever?
Amen.
It takes the Word of God for sinners to get saved.
Amen.
Now, I'm telling you, when we went through the Institute, Bible, the Missions Institute in Natchez, Mississippi in 1985, there were 93 languages in the world that didn't even have a track in their name, in their language. New Tribes Missions, their job was to go out to people that had never, that didn't have, that their language had never been broken, had nothing in their language, and live with them until they learned that language and then write some scripture for them. To try to get them saved by the grace of God. I'm telling you, if you think people in China hear the gospel every day? You think people in Russia hear the gospel every day? You think people in India hear the gospel every day? You think people in Cuba hear the gospel every day? Do you think they've got the pleasure that we have from being able to come and read, get up in the mornings or the night and we get home and sit down and read that book and God tell us in it how much He loves us and tell us about where we're going when we die? Hallelujah. I'm glad I'm not worried about where I'm going when I die. Amen. Fella asked me the other day, I went in a place and he said, where are you going? I said, heaven! Hallelujah to God. Amen. I said, and I'm heaven bound with a hammer down, bud. He looked at me like looking at a calf in a new gate. I'm telling you, they look at you crazy. They look at you crazy. Some people do. I'm telling you, Job said in Job 12:23-12, he said, neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. I have esteemed his words of his mouth more than my necessary food.
Yeah.
All right, boys, listen to that. He said, I esteem this Bible, the words of his mouth, more necessary than my food. He said, if I had my choice between a T-bone and the book, I'll take the book.
Amen.
Ain't many Baptists today that take that deal. If they was, we'd be fasting more.
Amen.
I don't believe we'll ever have revival without fasting.
Amen.
Nehemiah sat down and wept.
Amen.
Amen. Sat down and wept and prayed and fasted many days. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Before he ever went back to Jerusalem. Before he ever went in to see the king to get permission to go back.
Right.
All right, is everybody listening to me?
Yeah.
All right, God, I'm just telling you.
Amen.
That we ought to love this book. He said, Job said he loved it more than his necessary food. You know why? Necessary food will sustain your body. And if that's all you got, your body will die and you'll go to hell. And I'm going to tell you this book, now get this now, will sustain both your body and soul and spirit.
Amen.
Somebody says, how can it sustain my body? I'm going to die. Woo! I'm glad you asked, because I'm going to get up. Hallelujah to God.
Amen.
Come on in the house. Redemption of the body's not got here yet. God, I'm telling you, God, amen, I'm about to have a running fit. God has redeemed our soul. God has redeemed our soul and quickened our spirit. But there's coming a glorious day when God will call the dead out of the grave. They shall be called up to me. Here's what I've had people to tell me, Brother Hereford. I don't know how y'all feel about this. I really don't care. I've gone too far down the road. But I've had people to tell me that they say, what do you think about total depravity? I said, I just believe what the Bible says, that a man is dead in trespasses and sins.
Amen.
Now they said, what do you mean? This guy said, I've heard people say, they're stone cold dead. How do you feel? I said, they're stone cold dead. He said, well, answer me something. If they're dead, stone cold dead, how in the world can they ever get saved? They can't hear no preaching. They can't hear nothing. And I said, sir, can I ask you a question? And he said, yes. I said, do you believe that the same God that has the power to raise a dead, fleshly corpse out of the grave, don't you think He's got the same power to get inside a man's soul and spirit and speak to that man that he might be quickened by the power of God? You better believe God can. Is there anything impossible with God? I'm telling you, if your spirit has never been quickened, you are yet dead in your sin.
Amen.
You better believe that's right. The Holy Ghost can do that for us. Hallelujah. Woo! With this body, I'm aware of the world. With my soul, I'm aware of God. But with my spirit, I can communicate with that God that I'm aware of. Amen. That's right. Woo! Hallelujah. Praise God. Somebody say amen. Amen. Oh, yeah. Then I won't say we ought to have an appetite. Now, some of you this morning think I crossed the line a little bit. But I'm going to show you how I'm going to tell you how Brother Hall walked right down the center of the line. Y'all thought I got in a ditch this morning. Miss Hall got home and said, we need to change the name of the church. I said, what are we going to call it? And she said, the First Calvinistic Presbyterian Church. I said, now, babe, I'm a Baptist. She said, no, I'm a Baptist. You're a Calvinist. I said, no, I'm a Baptist. She said, you ain't no Baptist. You're a Calvinist. But she didn't listen. I said some things that come up to the line, but I also said that Jesus, when He came into the world, chose humanity when He came into the world and died on the cross, that whosoever will may come and be saved. If you get anything else out of that, you just got something, my buddy, that I didn't say. Or you misinterpreted it. Amen. But I still say, and don't make any apologies about it, that God chose us. We didn't choose God. You didn't walk out one day and say, well, I think I'll just get saved. No, you didn't. Something began to turn and twist down in your heart. Your mind began to think on things that you had never thought on before. Somebody said, what is that? That's called conviction. That's called the Spirit of God working in a man's heart. And before you know it, you was kind of getting a little tender-hearted and teary-eyed. You remember back then, mean bold? Amen. As Samson used to say, mean bold. Can you remember? And I stir you up by way of remembrance. Mean bold how it was when your heart got a little tender and you got some of them tears in your eyes and you got to thinking about the Lord. And then you heard, you finally said, well, I think I'll go to church. And you got in the right kind of a church and some preacher got up and said, look to Calvary. Look to Christ crucified. Look at the suffering Son of God. Being crucified in your place, suffering your shame, your death, your guilt, your hell, died for you. You ought to have been crucified, but He died in your place like He did for us. See Him carry that cross up Calvary's hill and watch Him stick that crown of thorns in His head. And you begin to think, and that preacher said, and you know what? He's done that for you.
Amen.
And you say, no, boy, he didn't do that for me. He done that for all these other people, but not me. And the Holy Ghost whispers and said, you too.
Amen.
And boy, not once something in there starts going. That old heart just gets to fluctuating, you know what I'm saying? And before you know it, you got a good case of the I can't help it.
Right.
Amen. And I don't care. And God somehow came into your life and gloriously saved you. Somebody said, oh, it don't work that way. I've got news for you. The Bible said the way God works, He said, the wind bloweth where it listeth. You can hear the sound thereof, but you can't tell from where it comes from or where it goes. And so is everybody that's born of the Spirit. I'm going to tell you, I was in that church on that Sunday morning, and I heard the wind blowing. I heard where it come from and where it went. Woo! Hallelujah to God. I don't know where it come from or where it went, but I do know one thing it does. When the wind passed by where I was at, praise God, He saved me by His grace. Hallelujah. He lifted me out of the deep miry clay, set my feet on a heavenly way. Amen to God. Give me an appetite for God. Give me an appetite for the Scriptures. Give me an appetite for the house of God, the work of God, the ministry of God. Amen. Boy, I feel like a novice tonight. Hallelujah. I knew I was on target, boy, when God laid this in on my heart. Woo, I'm having a good time. I'm going to say this. That's what I started to say a while ago. I don't believe we have an appetite for souls. The Bible said in Psalm 126, verse 5 and 6, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. And he that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. I want to ask you something. Are we sowing in tears?
Amen.
Are we sowing the seed and watering the seed with tears and in the closet of prayer? Are we really concerned about souls that are lost and dying and going to hell? Some of y'all and people out there have accused me of being a Calvinist. And I'll guarantee you most Baptists hadn't witnessed to somebody in 10 years.
Amen.
Don't call nobody a Calvinist if you're not out trying to get somebody saved.
Amen.
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 That's right. Boy, I'll tell you, we need a burden for those that are lost. They're going to hell. I heard that old man out, Brother Allen's that year. I heard him say, Sammy Allen preached on hell that morning. And the Holy Ghost said, you're going to preach this afternoon, first up, and you're going to preach on hell. And I said, Lord, that ain't what I brought to preach on. I don't even have no. He said, that's what you're going to preach on is hell.
Amen.
And I said, Lord, Brother Allen just preached on hell. He said, I'm telling you. And I wrestled with that and wrestled with that. And I didn't even know, really. I said, oh, I'm not going to preach. And I was sitting there on that pew. Brother Allen said, Brother Hall, you come up here. I said, oh, Lord, have mercy. I am going to preach. And some old man got up and sang, they're going to hell and nobody cares.
Amen.
And I'm telling you, I sat there on that bench and wept like a baby. I mean, I wept like a baby. God broke my heart. And glory to be to God, no glory to me. I don't want another glory. I wouldn't take an ounce of His glory. But God let me preach a little bit, and 29 people got saved that day by the grace of God. Some woman come up to me and said, thank you, Brother Hall. Thank you. Said, my daddy's here. Said he's never heard the gospel. And he's 79 years old, and he got saved this afternoon. Hearing you preach on hell, said, keep on preaching on hell. Amen. Hallelujah to God. That's right. Amen.
Amen.
I'm telling you, we need to have a love for souls. And God's people, I'll hurry with these. I've preached a message, really.
Amen.
God's people, we've lost our approach to the throne of God's grace.
Amen.
I'm talking about we've quit praying. We have quit praying. Psalm said in Psalm 65:4, blessed is the man whom thou choosest and causest to approach unto me, that he may dwell in thy courts. We shall be satisfied with the goodness of thy house, even of thy holy temple. Listen to what Paul said immediately after he was saved. The Lord spoke to Ananias in chapter number 9 of the book of Acts. And he said, and the Lord said unto him, arise, go to the street which is called straight. I'm telling you, God saved you. He'll put you on a straight street. Somebody save me. Hallelujah. God gets you under the blood, you'll get straight. Amen.
Amen.
He said, go to that street that's called straight and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. Behold, he prayeth. And then the Bible says in verse number 17, said, and Ananias went his way and entered into the house, putting his hands on him, said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus that appeared unto thee in the way, as thou camest, hath sent me that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. Here's what I want you to see about that. The minute he got saved, the minute Paul got saved, he started a prayer life. The Bible, God said, he called Ananias and said, behold, go down there at Judas' house. Said, there's a guy down there named Saul of Tarsus. Said, behold, he's praying. I wonder what he was praying for. I can go over the scriptures. I'm not going to give you all the scriptures, but I'm going to tell you, he was praying for light. He said in verse number, let's see, that's verse number 17. I believe it's verse number 16. Or 15 maybe, that Paul said, that he said, go down there that he may receive his sight. Paul said, I need a little light. I need to be able to see. First thing he prayed for was the ability to see like a child of God sees. And I'm telling you, he gave him some light. Amen. And if you've ever had light from God, you want more light. Somebody say, man, thank God I can't get enough light. Praise God. Let the light shine. Hallelujah to God. Let the light of the Son of God shine in our souls tonight and bless us as God can. Amen. That's right. Hallelujah. He prayed for light. Then he prayed for light. That is God's will. He said, Lord, what would thou have with me to do? He prayed for God's will. You prayed for God's will for your life. You know exactly what God wants you to do in life. Are you sure you're in the exact perfect will of God? Now, I've heard people say there's a perfect will and a permissive will. I would disagree with that. God may allow a man to do some things, but you're either in the perfect will of God, according to Romans 12, or you're out of the will of God.
Amen.
One of the two. There ain't no fence straddling.
Amen.
Ain't no perfect and permissive. That's like God saying He permits you to sin. God don't allow anybody to sin. He'll bust your hide, boy.
Amen.
He'll take you up behind the woodshed and strap you good. Amen! That's right. That's right. Then he prayed for the likeness of Jesus. And then he prayed for power. Because he said, yet thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Wonder when was the last time that you prayed to be filled with the Holy Ghost? So I said, I don't believe in that. That's Pentecostalism. Oh, that's Bibleism.
Amen.
Now, I've heard people say so many times, there wasn't no Holy Ghost didn't live in people until the day of Pentecost. And then He started dwelling in people on Pentecost. Son, you better read your Bible.
That's right.
I'm going to tell you, I can take you back to Luke chapter 1 and show you where the Holy Ghost filled Mary. I can show you where the Holy Ghost filled Elizabeth. I can show you where the Holy Ghost filled what was his name? Zacharias? And he hadn't been given on the day of Pentecost yet, but the Holy Ghost filled them.
Amen.
It's clear they were filled with the Holy Ghost. Now, how can you be filled with somebody that don't dwell in you? I'm telling you what I believe. I believe every saint that's ever been saved by the grace of God, the moment they got saved, old and new, were indwelled by the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
You don't have to believe that. But God's not had two ways of saving people.
Amen.
One.
Right. Amen.
Now, I can take you, if you want to argue the fact, I can take you over to Peter and read you in Peter where it talks about those that had a more sure word of prophecy. And it talks about which the Holy Ghost moved them. The Holy Ghost that was in them or something like that did say, if I could find it, I'd just read it for you. As I see some of you with doubting Thomas's in here. Doubting Thomas's. Let me see if I can find it. Hallelujah. Oh, yeah, there's some doubting Thomas's in here. Guarantee you on that. May not be Thomas, but there's some doubters in here. Amen. Somebody tell me where it's at. 1 Peter, 2 Peter. Oh, yeah. Of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify. Now, that's what the Bible says. When it testified beforehand of the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow them.
Amen.
Amen. Now, there's times God spoke to them prophets, and He didn't just blurt out in an audible voice to them.
Right.
He spoke to them in their heart.
Amen.
Come on in the house, boys and girls.
Amen.
I'd have some doubting females in here, too. I don't know. Now, I want to say lastly, but thirdly, God's people, we've lost our affection one toward another. That's right. Buddy, I'm going to tell you, We need to love one another.
Yes, sir.
Paul said in Romans 12, 9 and 10, he said, let love be without dissimulation. In other words, let love be without hypocrisy.
Amen.
Don't love somebody. Tell somebody you love them and be a damn right hypocrite about it.
Amen.
If you love them, love them. If you don't, tell them you don't.
Amen.
But he said, abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love and honor, preferring one another. In other words, hey, that's where problems start in. Somebody's Mr. Big and you're a little you, and I prefer me over you. No, that's not the right way. You ought to prefer Him over you. Jesus told His disciples, said, when you go to a feast, take the lowest room. That if you go up there, somebody higher than you will come, more important you will come in, and the governor of peace will come and tell you, move down here and let this man have thy place. But said, if you go to the lowest place, take your place in the lowest place, then he'll come to you and tell you, friend, move up a little higher. He said, then you will have worship in the presence of those that are there.
Amen.
I'm telling you, it's always better to humble yourself and take the low place on the totem pole, buddy. I learned that a long time ago. Some of these big eye preachers, big guys and little me, you know, some of them can't fool with us. We don't have enough money for them. We're not big enough for them.
That's right.
Amen. Some of them that used to come don't come no more.
Praise the Lord for that. Amen.
Amen, Brother Jerome.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you, if they don't love us, we're better off without them.
Amen.
You can't do anything with a mixed multitude. If you don't have people that believe alike and think alike, amen, I read that Bible like, you can't get nothing from God. A mixed multitude will destroy any meeting.
Amen.
Better believe it will.
Yes, sir.
That mixed multitude, it was always a problem with Israel when they come out of Egypt. That mixed multitude.
Yes, sir.
It's always a problem. Now, I want to define affection for you. It means cherishing one's kindred, especially parents or children. Cherishing one's kindred. Somebody said, well, Brother Hall, I'm not any relation to you. Well, you're not. You're my blood kin.
Amen.
You're my blood kin.
Amen.
The blood has paid the price for all of us. We're blood bought from God. We're blood relation. Somebody said, now, Brother Hall, you talk about physical relationships is blood related. I've got news for you, friend. If you're saved by the grace of God, us is saved. We're all blood related.
Amen.
We all got in the same way.
Right.
Some of us didn't crawl under the baptistry, through the water fountain,
right.
Around the door. We come through the door. And through the blood, somebody say amen. Has it ever occurred to you, ooh, I just thought of this. Ooh, I just thought of this. Ooh, I just thought of this. Has it ever occurred to you when they were down in Egypt and that daddy took that blood on that hyssop and put it on the doorpost and the lintels of the house? Daddy had to go through the door and he had to go through the blood to go through it. Somebody say amen right there. Hallelujah. Amen. So when you went through the door, you went through the blood, friend.
That's right.
Amen. Amen. That's right.
Yes, sir.
That's right. Then we're not only blood kin, we're bought kin. We've all been bought with a price.
That's right.
We've been bought with a price and we're not our own.
Amen.
So if we're blood kin and bought kin, why don't we get along like kinfolk? Somebody said, most of my kinfolks argue like a devil. You always make up.
Amen. Amen.
I'm telling you, for everybody's sake, you can argue a little bit and make up.
That's right.
I've held to this all my preaching days, that if two people are at odds with one another and both of them are saved, they can get right with God with each other.
Amen.
I don't care what nobody says. Don't let anybody tell you any different.
Amen.
You get right with one another.
Amen.
There's a problem between you. You can get right with them. I've had to eat crow occasionally. And take my word for it, it tastes better when it's hot.
Amen.
Amen. That is, don't let it linger around a long time. When you know you're wrong, eat it and go on. Amen. That's right. 1 John said, we know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren.
Amen.
He that loveth not his brother abideth in death.
Amen.
If you don't love your brother, you dead, friend. You're a dead corpse.
Amen.
If you don't love your brother. He said in John 13:35, by this shall all men know that you're my disciples. If you love one another. If you have love one to another.
Amen.
I started to say something ugly, but I decided I wouldn't better not do that.
Amen.
Y'all might have a heart attack, panic attack.
Come on, preach this.
We'd have to get a sack and put over your head to get you stuff. Your breathing settled down.
Amen.
You'd be surprised at the weird ideas that people have that they are recognized as a child of God by so many different things. Jesus said, men will know that you are my follower, my disciple. If you have love one to another. Now that's the Bible. I didn't write it. God wrote it. If you've got a problem, take it up with Him. Amen. That's right. Now you may not like me, but you've got to love me. You better love me. We're going to spend eternity together, friend.
Amen.
Now, I'm telling you, that's a long time. And you don't have to like Brother Hall. You got to love me.
Amen.
Amen. There's a lot of things I don't like, but I love him.
Amen.
Amen. I don't like Pringles. I love them. All right. Got that kind of a crowd here with us tonight. Finally, in number four, as God's people, we've lost our allegiance or our devotion and dedication to God. How many of us in here tonight are really sold out? I want you to go home tonight, read Hebrews chapter 11, and you think those that are in the hall of faith, like Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, like Noah, like Abel, like Joseph and Daniel and some of the others, go home tonight and read that chapter. And don't stop when you get past those big names that you know. Go on down and read those names that are not mentioned of those that said some were sold asunder.
Amen.
Some had their children killed. Some suffered greatly. I'm going to tell you, friend, it don't name their name, but they're in the hall of faith. Now I'm here to tell you, hey, they had an affection and a love for God, and they loved not their bodies to the death. Now I'm telling you, God said greater reward is a martyr's reward than any reward in the Bible.
Amen.
I told you that. I think about John and Betty Stamm. They took them up on top of the hill. Laid Betty Stamm's head. They put their baby under the house, the boards of a house, and them Chinese carried them up on a hill. Laid Betty Stamm's head down on a chopping block, and Selt looked at John and said, "If you don't recant," looked at her and said, "If you don't recant Christ, said, I'm gonna cut her head off." She looked up and said, "Don't do it, John, don't do it." And the Chinese man said, "What about it?" And he said, "I will not recant Christ." And the man cut her head off. He laid his head on the block and said, "Recant Christ or you're next." He said, "I will not recant what Christ has done for me." Now I'm telling you what the book said that I read. It said that they cut John Stamm's head off and it rolled back down the hill and landed on the stump of the neck, looking up the hill, smiling at him.
Amen.
Woo! Amen. You think that old boy is going to have a reward in heaven?
Amen.
Hey, gentlemen, that's faith.
Amen.
That is faith to those that love their Lord unto the death if it takes it.
Yes, sir.
We've lost our allegiance.
Amen.
We've lost our devotion, our dedication. How in heaven's name will we ever have revival until we get dedicated to God? Now, I won't say this. Now, I'm not being ugly. Really, I'm not. But I won't say it. We had choir practice tonight, and I looked several of you up here, and I'm not going to mention no names. Some of you know, y'all was jack-legging around. You wasn't singing when they was trying to sing that first song. You wouldn't listen to what was going on. This is serious business up here.
Amen.
We come up here to sing and glorify God. We don't come up here to play and clown around.
Amen.
I'm going to get something. Now, y'all might think I'm an old fogey, but if I can find it, I'm going to show you something. Now, this will take just a second. I'll be right back. I'm not going to tell you. Can y'all hear me? I'm not going to tell you where it's at now. I got to get my trash can out here. Because I throw it in the trash. That's where it belongs. In the trash. See here. I'm not going to tell you where it's at. Christian Camp. I'm not going to tell you the name of it. I'm not going to tell you the dates of it. And I'm not going to tell you where it's at. Here's the things to bring. Bring a King James Version of the Bible. Bring a notepad and a pencil. Bring a softball glove and bats and optional. Bring a laundry bag, personal items, toothbrush, so on, towels, washcloth, fill a sleeping bag, sheets, twin sheets, money for snack, and $20 for should be plenty, bribes and poetry for judges. That all sounds real good. I thought there was some more of it in here, though. There was, activities, Bible memorization, big ball, dodgeball, volleyball, singing competition, boxing, water balloon slingshot, flag football, Suwannee County Sheriff's Office, K-9 and SWAT units, paintball, and battle ball. And if you ask me, they're all a bunch of oddballs. Buddy, I'm telling you, God never intended that mess in the church.
Amen.
The house of God is for worship.
Amen.
The house of God is for preaching.
Amen.
The house of God is to build up the saints for the work of the ministry.
Amen.
That we might win people to God and glorify His name on this earth.
Amen.
That's right. Church is not a playhouse, friend. I'm telling you, I'm just telling you, I'm not one for all that junk. And if you got to have somebody that's all that junk. Now, I'm not against our kids in our church going out here and playing a little ball and stuff like that, sliding on them sliding boards, stuff like that. That don't bother me a bit. But when these guys send out these gimmick things and come on down and what you need to bring now is a volleyball and a football and a kickball and a baseball and a ball glove and a ball bat. Bring all these balls down here. We're going to bring this ball and that ball and that ball and every other kind of ball. I'm going to tell you, when they start talking about all that stuff, I've got a problem.
Amen.
Got a card here a while back. Said, come to our, I think it's a meeting or a cruise. Said, the most romantic meeting in all the world we're going to have. I said, yeah, have mercy. Will thou not revive us again that thy people may rejoice in thee? How about tonight? Would you come pray and ask God to revive you?
Amen.
I don't know anybody in this room, including myself, that don't need revival.
Amen.
Let's all stand together, please.